Amen. Man, great singing this morning. Man, the choir, was that not amazing? They did such a great job with that, and the congregational singing and the special music as well. And just thank the Lord for the great singing this morning. And so glad that you're here with us. Take your Bibles this morning and open to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're starting a new series in the book of John. We went through John chapter 1, and we were looking at the different titles of Christ in John chapter 1, like he is the Word, he is the Son of Man and the Son of God, the King of Israel, looking at some of those. And we're beginning this morning a series on the I Am. And throughout the book of John, seven times Jesus refers to himself as the I Am. And of course, we understand that this is referencing even back to the book of Exodus, when Israel is going to be led out of Egypt by Moses, and Moses is talking to God there on Mount Sinai, and Moses says, "Well, God, who am I supposed to say has sent me? I mean, nobody's going to believe me. So who am I supposed to say has sent me?" And God tells Moses, "I am that I am. I am that I am," that God is sufficient. He is everything. God, he doesn't need anyone or anything. He is all in all. And so in the book of John, again, remember why John is writing. In John chapter 21, he says, "These things have I written unto you that that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God." And so John wants people to know who Jesus is. And so in the book of John, John records, and John is the only one that records this for us, that there are seven times when Jesus says, "I am," and then he tells us what he is. And we're going to look at, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When Jesus says, "I am the door." When he says, "I am the light of the world." He says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life." These are all things that Jesus says, "I am these things." And we're going to have this series as we go through and looking at these. And this morning we're in John chapter number 6. John chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 25. John chapter 6, verse number 25. "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, 'Rabbi, when camest thou hither?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed.' Then said they unto him, 'What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said unto them, 'This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.' They said therefore unto him, 'What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then said Jesus unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life, unto the world.' Then said they unto him, 'Lord, evermore give us this bread.' And Jesus said unto them, 'I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.'" Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning. Thank you for the great singing. Lord, we truly do this morning want to praise you and to glorify you for who you are. Lord, as the songs have so adequately depicted, Lord, of you and just of who our God is and the glory that is deserved for your name. Lord, even this morning as we look to your word and we look at Jesus Christ as he claims to be the bread of life, God, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, may we love you. May we have a desire to serve you more because of what you have done for us. Lord, bless now in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 6 is one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible. It's one of my favorite chapters because of the first account that we find of the five loaves and two fish. I love the account there. But it is also one of the most disappointing chapters as well. And we'll see that in just a moment. At the beginning of chapter 6, as I mentioned, we find Jesus taking five loaves of bread and two fish. And what does he do with that? He feeds minimum of 5,000 men, right? And of course, there's been many speculations on what the exact number is. Obviously, we'll never know. But minimum 5,000 men. But then, of course, you add women and children on there and things. And it was just thousands upon thousands of people just with five loaves of bread and two fish. Later, the disciples are in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up, and they're afraid for their life. They think they're going to die. They think they're going to sink. And in the middle of the storm, they think they see a ghost, right? I mean, it's bad enough you're in the middle of a storm, but now you're seeing ghosts, right? And so they look across the sea there, and they think they see a ghost, and instead, it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. In the middle of the storm, walking on the water. Hello? Really? I mean, they're afraid in the boat. They think they're going to sink. And there's Jesus just walking on the water like it's nothing. In the middle of a storm. Some of you are dead this morning. Come on. I mean, you try that, right? Go up there to Lake Erie where we were at yesterday and get out on a boat and try to walk on water. Let's see what happens. See if you think that this may not be a little bit better than what you think this morning, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing. And then you have the great discourse on the bread of life, which is where we are today. It's such a deep chapter. There's just no way that we can really touch on everything in it in one message. It's such a deep chapter. The people have just been fed, and they're trying to follow Jesus. And they come to Capernaum and they find Jesus there. But when they find Jesus, things do not go the way that they had planned. You'd think people looking for Jesus would be a good thing, right? It's a good thing people are looking for Jesus. But Jesus immediately begins to reveal their hearts. Notice in verse number 26. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." That's an interesting thing that Jesus says, right? I mean, because wasn't the feeding of the five loaves and two fish, wasn't that a miracle? You are dead this morning. You were singing so great a minute ago, I'm not sure what happened, right? That was a miracle, right? Okay, all right, just want to make sure we're here this morning, okay? It was a miracle. So notice what he says. It's interesting. Because Jesus says, "Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He tells them the reason they're looking for him is because they're hoping that Jesus will feed them again. They're just wanting to be fed. They weren't there even to see him do other miracles like he has done. I mean, he's healed blind people, he's raised lame people, he's raised people from the dead. But here's the thing. Those miracles didn't have anything to do with them. They didn't benefit from those miracles. They benefited from the five loaves of bread and two fish. And so they came saying, "Hey, we don't really care about the miracles. We just want you to feed us again. We want you to take care of our physical needs." They wanted more food. Do you see the selfishness of their hearts? Jesus is revealing this to them. So Jesus tells them to do something. Notice verse 27. Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." It's really interesting. So many people have a difficult time understanding this passage of Scripture. When you read through this whole passage here, even the Catholic Church has taken this passage and created a completely false doctrine, what is called transubstantiation. Have you ever heard of transubstantiation? A few of you? All right. I'm going to teach you a word today that you can go home and you can feel like, hey, I've really learned something today. It's called transubstantiation. Can you say that? Transubstantiation. Okay. What does that mean? I have no idea. Right? I just know the word. Transubstantiation means that when you take the Lord's Supper or communion or whatever you call it, that when you take that piece of bread and you put it in your mouth, that that piece of bread literally becomes the body of Jesus Christ. And when you take the juice, that juice literally becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is why they say that. Notice in verse number 53, because Jesus does say in verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Well, I mean, that seems pretty obvious, right? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. Sounds like he's saying, eat his flesh, drink his blood. So did they just go out and start taking pieces out of his arm? No, of course not. You don't have to have a master's degree, a PhD, a doctorate. You don't have to have any type of really high education or anything to understand Jesus is giving a picture here. It's a picture. Jesus is not saying, literally, eat my flesh. Did he say this? Yes, of course he did. Why? Because of what he's trying to explain. He's using this analogy between his body and what? Bread. Bread. He has said, I am the bread of life. And again, they take this and they make a false doctrine out of this. Jesus never said that his body or that bread is going to turn into the body of Jesus Christ and the juice turns into the blood of Jesus Christ. Even later on, it is a picture. It is done in remembrance of him. It's not actually him. The Jews and even the disciples had a hard time understanding this even. Down in verse number 60, it says, the disciples said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Later in verse number 66, notice what it says. From that time, many of his, what's that next word? Disciples went back and walked no more with him. Remember I said one of the most disappointing passages as well? The disciples, many of the disciples, those that had said, hey, this is our teacher. Remember what they called him at the very beginning there? They said, Rabbi, when camest thou? Rabbi, you're our teacher. You're the one that we're learning from. Rabbi, we want to know these things. Rabbi, teacher. He says, from that day, many of those disciples, many of those that called him teacher, no longer walked with him. These weren't the religious leaders. They weren't there to be disciples of Jesus. These were the people that had heard and saw the miracles and heard some of his teaching. And they said, wait a minute, we don't understand this. This is too hard to understand. And from that day, many of the disciples walked no more with him. You see, the key to understanding this passage is in verse 27. Again, I wish we had time to go verse by verse through this. There's just not time. But notice in verse number 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Now, there's two key words here that really just don't seem to go together. Did you catch them? Sometimes we just read and we don't really stop and think about what is being said. By the way, if you did not... if you missed this past Sunday, like I did, I was not here this past Sunday. I was in another state. I would really strongly encourage you to go back and listen to the message that Brother Joel preached Sunday morning about Barnabas and being an encourager. And then in the Sunday school hour that my dad taught about understanding and rightly dividing the word. Those are great, great messages. If you haven't listened to them, I really want to encourage you to go back and do that. But notice, what does he say here, right? These words don't seem to go together. What is the first word? What is it? Come on.
Labor.
Labor, right? What does labor mean?
Work.
Work. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall, what's that next word?
Give.
Labor and give. Those words don't really go together. If something is a gift, then do you work for it? No. If it's a gift, you don't work for it. And if you're laboring for something, is it a gift? No. It's like they're extreme opposites, right? You don't labor for a gift, and a gift is not given because you've labored. A gift is given freely. So how do we make sense of this? I'm glad that Jesus explains himself. Amen? If you're ever reading a passage of Scripture, you're like, I don't really see how that comes together, right? The wonderful thing about Scripture is the majority of the time, if you will read before the verse and if you'll read after the verse, you know what you'll find? The explanation. The explanation is right there, right? But so many times we just get stuck on one verse and we don't take the time to read anything before it or anything after. We're just like, this one verse. But he explains. He explains both of these things, labor and gift. Notice, we'll look first of all at the word labor. Again, think about what he says here. I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So they ask him in verse number 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do? What do we have to do to work the works of God? Because again, Jesus just said, labor not for the physical food, but labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Labor for that, right? Labor for it. And they're thinking, all right, we got this. They understood labor. They understood work. They understood this religious idea of work and things. Why? Well, because they had laws that they followed. They had moral laws, like the Ten Commandments. They had civil laws that governed the nation as a whole. They had religious, ceremonial laws that they had to follow as far as what sacrifices could be brought and why these sacrifices were brought and which ones and which time of year could they be brought. In fact, there were over 600 laws in the law of Moses. 600 laws. So they're thinking, hey, we got this. What work do we need to do? And then to top it all off, right? Because the religious leaders of Jesus' day thought there weren't enough laws to keep, they decided to make up their own. It's not enough that we have 600 laws, we're going to make up a few more, right? So they understood what it meant to labor. They understood working. Now, when you think about it, why did they even make up these other laws? Like, they said, you know, hey, if before you eat, guess what you have to do? You have to wash your hands. Now, is that a good thing? Well, sure it is. But is it a law that before you eat, you have to wash your hand? Did God ever say that? No. But they made it up, right? These were man-made laws. Why did they have to make up their own laws? 600's not enough. Why did they make up their own laws? Because they couldn't keep the 600 laws. You see, the reason why God gave these laws was to show them that they could not keep them and that they needed a Savior. The laws showed them that they were a sinner. So what did they do? They said, well, hey, we don't like it that we can't keep all these laws, so let's make some laws that we can keep. Let's make some laws that will make us feel better about ourselves. Let's wash our hands before we eat. That's a good law, isn't it? That's a good law. Let's make sure that before we eat, we wash the plate before we eat. I mean, we don't want any of those germs, right? So let's wash the plate before we eat. That's a good law. I mean, let's have some laws that we can keep that can make us feel better about ourselves so we can say, hey, I'm keeping the law. All right, Lord, tell us. What work? What work can we do? That's what they said. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What else do we have to do? What else? Just as you would have to work for physical food, whether it's planting, you're planting a garden or planting a field or working a job, there is something that you have to do to put food on your table. It doesn't just magically appear. I know kids think that. It just magically appears into the cabinet. Woo! Let's just eat all we want because it just magically appears. It replenishes itself. Now, we know it doesn't happen that way. They're asking, what work do we have to do for this spiritual food that is everlasting? So Jesus tells them, here's the work that you have to do. Here's the labor to get this meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You ready? Falling asleep on me again. Jesus says, all right, you want to know what it is? Here it is. I don't know if they took a pen out. We're ready. We're going to write this. How many laws are we going to have to keep now? What other new laws are going to be added? What's he going to tell us to do? Be ready. He says, here it is. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What was that, Lord? I didn't hear anything that you told us that we had to do. I didn't hear any labor involved in that. Could you repeat that? Let me slow it down to make sure you can get it. Believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe. Well, Lord, I don't think you understand. That's not really a work. Exactly. It's not a work. It's belief. You see, this is what Jesus is trying to help them understand. The work of God is not what is commanded by God, but what has been done by God. The work of God is not what has been commanded by God, but what has been done by God. The only work that we can do to receive this life is to believe in the one that God sent, which is Jesus Christ. There is nothing else that we can do. To be able to do something is to say, God has not done anything, and so therefore I must do something. I have to work. I have to labor to get it. And God says, no. The work of God. Remember? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? The work of God can only be done by God. There are so many religions teaching, no, it's what you can do. And that is a lie. They're saying that you can work the work of God. And God says, no, you can't. Here is the work. You want to know what the work is? You want to know what the labor is? You want to know how to get this eternal life? Yeah, Lord, tell me. Believe. Believe on him whom he hath sent. You see, it's a gift. Let's look at the gift here. This is why, again, in verse number 27, it really explains it. They're thinking work. They're thinking labor like you would have to do for physical. And he says, wait, you're thinking this, but let me explain. The only way to get this eternal life is it is to be given to you. It is a gift of God because there is nothing you and I can labor to do. So let's look at the gift. The gift we see, first of all, is eternal bread. Eternal bread. Again, in verse number 27, he says this bread, this meat that endureth unto everlasting life. It's everlasting. In verse number 33, think about what he says. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Man, I'm so glad that that says life unto the world. Amen. It doesn't just say, I'm here to give life to the Jews. It's not saying I'm here just to give life to America. It's not saying I'm just here to give life to those who speak a specific language. He says, the bread of God is that which God is going to give life to the world. It's for everyone. It's eternal. And that's why Jesus says in verse number 35, I am the bread of life. You see, Jesus is not offering eternal bread. He is the eternal bread of life, because he came down from the Father offering himself as the bread. That's why when Jesus is claiming to be, I am the bread of life, they're saying, hey, wait a minute, you're saying that you were the I am that was speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. And Jesus says, yes, that was me. I am the I am, and I am the bread of life. It's not physical in that you eat the bread or you eat him like you would physical bread, but just like bread, you can have a fresh loaf of bread sitting in front of you. How many of you like fresh bread? Oh, man. There's just like nothing, there's nothing like the smell of fresh bread. I mean, you walk in the house and your wife is cooking that bread, or maybe you like to cook it, and you're like, oh, yeah. I can smell it. It's got to be done soon, I hope, right? And they pull that fresh loaf of bread out of the oven, and they set it, and they're like, oh, yeah. And some of you are already like slobbering right now. I'm not sure what's going on. But I mean, you're thinking about that bread, and you're like, oh, man, I can just taste it in my mouth. I mean, you know, you just slice off that piece of bread and put you a slab of butter on there with maybe some honey or maybe some apple butter or some cinnamon butter. Glory to God, I'm telling you. Some of you are about ready to leave and go to a restaurant right now. Stay here. We're not done. I'm telling you, it's just, man, it's so good. But you can take that bread out of the oven and you can set it on the counter and you can smell it. And you can see it, and you can imagine what it's like, and die of starvation. Die. Why? Because just sitting there, smelling it, looking at it, does nothing for your body. It is not until you take that knife and you cut a little piece off there, and you put it in your hand, and you put anything you want on there, and you open your mouth, and it just like melts in your mouth. That's when it helps your body. That's when that bread is able to give life to your body. Because without it, without food, you will die. It doesn't matter how much food you have in your house. It doesn't matter what kind of a cook you are. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest chef in the world. You can make anything you want. But unless you eat it, you will die. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And you can know about me, and you can read about me, and you can see me, and you can understand maybe some things about me, but until you take me, you have no life. Until you take me, there is no life. You say, but oh man, I cleaned up the kitchen. The kitchen's all spotless. Great. You're still going to die in a spotless kitchen. Because until you eat it, you're going to die. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Just knowing about the bread, that doesn't give you life. Look what he says in verse 57 and 58. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Again, he's not saying eat his physical bread, but he's saying you have to receive me. It's not just enough knowing that I'm here. It's not just enough seeing that I'm here. It's not just enough reading about it in the Word of God and sitting in a church and listening to the message. You have to receive it. And without it, you will die, he says. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Look, they ate all the physical bread they wanted to, and they died still. It is spiritual. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. It's not until you take him that you are able to have life. The problem is, just like with so many in that day, they just wanted him to feed them. They just wanted him to take care of their physical needs. They weren't concerned about what he said. They weren't concerned about receiving him. They just wanted to add something onto what they were already doing to show that they were able to do something to impress God. Look at what verse number 36. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. He says, I'm right here in front of you. The bread of life is right here. You've seen me. And you know what they said? Prove it to us. Show us a sign. Really? Look what they said. Verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Are you kidding me? Did you not just eat from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Did you not just see the lame man walking? Did you not see the blind man seeing and the deaf man hearing? Did you not see the widow of Nain's son who was dead and in the coffin? They were going out to bury him, and I stopped him and I touched him and I raised him back to life. Did you not see that I can walk on water and I can calm the storms? And you say, show me a sign? And you know what? There are many people just like that today. Show me a sign and then I'll believe. Oh, I've heard of Jesus and I've read the Bible and all those things, but if he would just show me a sign, then I would believe. They begin to murmur. Verse 41 and 42, then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? We know his father and mother. This guy can't have come down from heaven. Really? Just any carpenter's son can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 15,000 people with it? Just any carpenter's son can walk on water? Just any carpenter's son can heal the blind and heal the lame? And just any carpenter's son can do that? You really think you know who his father and mother are and you see what he does? They saw these things and he says, yet you still do not believe. And yet there are many today will not believe, will not take God at his word, will not take Jesus at his word that says, I am the bread of life. I've given my life for you. And you're still saying, show me a sign? You see, this bread is eternal. This bread that Jesus offers when we receive it is eternal bread. But notice, may I say, secondly here, it is sustaining bread. You know, the great thing about this life-giving bread, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the wonderful thing about it is that it never runs out. It never runs out. Think about the account earlier in this chapter as Jesus takes those 5 little loaves and 2 fish and begins to feed them. And the disciples come back and they get a basket and they come back. And what do they find? More bread. More fish. And they take it out and they feed more people and they bring the basket back. And what do they find? More. And they take it out and they give it out and they come back. And guess what they find? More. And they go out and they come back. And guess what they find? More. Do I really have to tell it to you? I mean, come on. More. And they go out and they come back and they find? More. And? More. And? More. And? More. And more until finally everybody's like, no, we can't take any more. We're so full. And you know what they found? More. 12 baskets full more than anybody could even eat. This bread never runs out. He is a sustaining bread. They kept coming back for more and more. And every time they came back, there was more. Friend, can I tell you, Jesus isn't just the bread that offers eternal life, but he is also the sustaining bread that we can come back to day after day after day after day after day. And you know what we find? More. He's there. His bread is there. That life-giving bread, that sustaining bread is there. It'll get you through what you need. Man, you might be going through a problem. You might be going through a difficulty. And you know what you need to do? You need to come back to the bread of life. You need to get back to Jesus, because he says, I am the bread of life. It's not just the eternal life that he offers, but a sustaining bread that we can come back to day after day after day. And he says, there's plenty to go around. You don't have to come and be like, well, sorry, I ran out 30 minutes ago. You ever been to a restaurant that happened to you? I hate that. Yeah, I'd like this number. We ran out 30 minutes. Then take it off the stinking menu, for crying out loud. I mean, why'd you have it on there? That's what I wanted. Take it off the menu. If you don't got it, don't tell me you got it. You know what you're never going to find? You're never going to find Jesus has run out. You're never going to find that Jesus said, oh, sorry, ran out 30 minutes ago. Oh, sorry, somebody else at First Baptist Church got the last piece. You'd be like, who was that? No, he said, there's more. There's more. There's so much more. There's so much more that even when you are full, there's still more. He's the sustaining bread. And we can come back to him and come back to him. Every time we come back, there's more. We can go through trials and difficulties, and we can think we just can't make it. And we can go to the bread of life to get the strength that we need every day. It may not be a trial that you're going through. It may not be a difficulty. You might just need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need some bread today, because I know there's going to be a coworker at work that I'm going to have to deal with. And Lord, I need some bread. Lord, there's a family issue that we're going through. And God, I need some bread. I need something to give me some sustenance. I need something to help me through this day. God, I'm just really down a little bit, and I need some bread to give me life a little bit today. It doesn't have to be a problem or a trial that you're going through. It can be at any time. We can come to him and he says, I've got plenty. I've got plenty. What do you need? What do you need? He's the sustaining bread. How many Christians who have taken the bread and have that eternal life that he offers and yet don't go back for sustaining bread? We think we can make it on our own. We may go a day or two without bread, but you're going to find the longer that you go without bread, the weaker you get. And one day, you're going to die. It so breaks my heart to see Christians who think that they don't need that sustaining bread. Oh, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And they take the bread of life. They say, I know it's there. And I know what it can do. But I'm good. I don't need to be in my Bible. I don't need to be reading his word. I don't need to be in prayer. I don't need to be in fellowship with him. I don't need to be in church. I don't need those things because I'm good. And they have no idea that they're dying. They're dying. Oh, they have the eternal bread. They think they have no need for the sustaining bread. And they live their life without bread. I've got it. I don't need Jesus. I'll get a little bit here and there. I'll come every once in a while. I'll read a little bit every once in a while. I'll pray when I got a problem. You can't live and be healthy that way. You're not going to be healthy if you just eat once a month. You're not going to be healthy if you just take a little bit here and there and you don't have a daily provision. You're not going to be healthy. You're going to be sickly. You look all across our country today, and churches are full of sickly Christians. Because we said, I don't need bread. Oh, I know it's there. And I know, oh, it smells good. It looks good, you know. I mean, it's got that nice little round brown top on it. Yeah, I know, it's good. But I don't need it. I'm good. You know, I really love, towards the end of the chapter here, as everybody is forsaking, Jesus turns to the 12 that are there, and he asks a simple question. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? I don't need that bread. I'll do my own thing. Church, not important. Bible, not important. Prayer, not important. Sports, that's important. Job, that's important. Money, that's important. Kids, that's important. But not God. Not the bread of life. What could God do with Christians that said, I will not go a day without coming to the bread of life and getting what I need? What could God do with a church full of Christians that said, I need the bread of life? Not just the eternal bread, but I need that daily sustaining bread. Jesus, when he was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4, what does he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Jesus said, you need this bread. You can't live healthy without it. You're going to be sick and dying without it. Yes, you can be saved and still be spiritually dying. Yes, you're going to go to heaven when you physically die, but are you alive spiritually? And the only way we can spiritually be alive for Jesus Christ is to go to the bread of life. And so Jesus asked the question, will ye go away also? That's a question you're going to have to ask or answer. What am I going to do with the bread of life? Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been trying to work like the Jews were, thinking that adding just more things is going to help you get to heaven. No, no, no. Jesus said you can't labor for it. Believe. What are you going to do with the bread of life? Christian, you've accepted the eternal bread. What are you going to do about the sustaining bread? You're going to go away? You're going to go away and say, I don't need it? Or will you respond the way that Simon did? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, who else can we go to? Nobody else is offering this eternal bread. Nobody else is offering this sustaining bread. Let me tell you, friend, you're not going to find sustaining bread between your husband and your wife. You're not going to find sustaining bread with your children. You're not going to find sustaining bread with your parents. You're not going to find sustaining bread at work. You're not going to find sustaining bread in the world. You know where you're going to find sustaining bread? With the one who is the bread of life. That's where you find sustaining bread. And so often we're looking in all these other places to try to find sustaining bread, and it's not there. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Why would we leave? What's he say? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're not leaving. You're the bread of life. Look, I understand they made mistakes. I understand the apostles weren't perfect. Neither are you and I. But Peter made a great statement. Lord, we believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, we believe that you are the bread of life that came down from heaven, and that it is only through you that we can have that eternal bread and that sustaining bread. To whom should we go? Where are you looking for sustaining bread? I can tell you this. If you're not looking to the bread of life, you're looking in the wrong place. It's the wrong place. As the bread of life, Jesus is the giver of life and the sustainer of life. He gives us all we need. As bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. Will ye also go away? Father, I pray you would work in our hearts and our lives this morning. Lord, I pray. Lord, maybe there's someone today that they've never accepted Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Lord, they've been looking at a church. They've been looking at a baptism. They've been looking at their good works. They've been looking at so many different things, but Lord, they've never looked to Jesus Christ alone as the bread of life. I wonder this morning, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, would there be someone here this morning and say, Pastor, that's me. I've been trying church. I've been trying religious things. I've been baptized. I've been trying to be good. I've been trying to do all these different things, but I have never accepted the bread of life as my own. I've known about Jesus. I've read about him. I've heard about him, but I've never accepted him as my own. You say, Pastor, I'd like to know more about that. I'd like to know more about how I could have the bread of life, that eternal life through Jesus Christ. No one is looking about this morning. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. But you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know how I can have the bread of life. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I've ever accepted the bread of life. Just slip it up and put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you or call you out. I just want to pray for you this morning. Pastor, pray for me. And Christian, can I ask you this morning? You say, yes, Pastor, I know. I know I've accepted the bread of life. I know I'm saved. And praise the Lord for that. Glory be to God for that. But what about the sustaining bread? Have you decided that you don't need that daily bread? You don't need Jesus every day. You don't need his word. You don't need prayer. You don't need that fellowship. You don't need church. And you're going to do it on your own. And you know in your heart something's wrong. You know there's a spiritual weakness that is there. You feel there's a dying spiritually. Friend, will you admit it to God? Will you come to God this morning and say, Lord, I have gone away, and I see there's a spiritual weakness, there's a spiritual dying in my life, and I need to come back to the bread of life, and I need to come to you daily. Lord, I don't want to go away. Lord, there's nowhere else that has the words of eternal life but you. No one else has the sustaining bread but you. God, I've gone away. Lord, I want to come back today. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God is speaking in my heart. There's something in my life that God's showing me that I need to make right with him. I haven't been relying upon that daily bread the way that I should. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Friend, what about you? Are you willing to admit to God? It doesn't matter about admitting to me. You're not responsible to me. But if God's working in your heart this morning, are you just going to keep resisting? You're going to keep walking away? When he says, I am the bread of life. And he offers himself to us every single day to sustain us in our life. What will you do with him? Father, I pray that you'd work in the invitation. Lord, draw us closer to yourself. May we desire to have that bread every day, to be in fellowship and communion with you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of eternal life, that it's not by our works. It's not by anything that we can do. Simply believing on Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those that raised their hands this morning. Lord, you've spoken to their hearts specifically about something. And Lord, I pray that they wouldn't keep walking away, and whatever it might be, but Lord, they would come to you. Say, Lord, I need you as the bread of life. I need that sustaining bread. And God, every day, I'm going to come to you for that bread that I need. Because you are the bread of life. Father, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.